With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Miami-Dade County Mayor says crews searching the debris of the collapsed condo tower made a good deal of progress in Sunday night's demolition of part of the building that was still standing.
Now that the entire area is safe to search. And so the teams have now removed over 4.8 million pounds of concrete from the pile as they're searching through the evidentiary debris.
Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava tells WPLG the confirmed death toll is 28, 117 people unaccounted for. Along with high winds, Tropical Storm Elsa dumping a lot of rain on the Florida Keys this morning. The National Hurricane Center's John Cangelosi says Elsa will likely parallel Florida's west coast today, landfall late tonight or early tomorrow in the Big Bend area north of Tampa Bay.
We're not forecasting it to be a hurricane, but we did issue a hurricane watch just to illustrate the possibility that it could get to a hurricane. And again, that watch area kind of covers the Tampa Bay area, a little to the south and a little to the north of it.
Once the storm crosses Florida, it's expected to move up the East Coast all the way north to New England later in the week. Also at SRNnews.com, we'll hear from President Biden today after he meets with his COVID-19 response team.
The president will get an update on the pandemic and the state of vaccinations. This afternoon's meeting, followed by presidential remarks, comes after the White House fell short of its goal to have 70% of U.S. adults with at least one vaccine shot by July 4th. On Sunday, President Biden urged those who are unvaccinated to get their shots, saying the vaccine is the best defense against new variants of the virus. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Watching Wall Street, stock futures are mixed. Dow futures down 3 points. NASDAQ futures 4 points higher. S&P futures 3 points in the red. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Patrick Johnson. We're keeping an eye on Tropical Storm Elsa back over the water as it continues its path towards Florida. The High Springs Fire Department says sandbags will be offered from 8 in the morning until 8 p.m. today at Memorial Park. Sandbags are self-serve. No staff will be available to fill or load. The fire department said the limit is 10 bags per household. In the South Riverside neighborhood near San Marco, clogged drains could be a problem. Neighbors worry flooding could get worse depending on how much rain Elsa brings. Despite the city trying to keep the drains open, the area has been used as a dumping ground. Family and friends of Jacksonville City Councilwoman Jacoby Pittman are asking for prayers as she battles COVID-19. Pittman has been hospitalized and is in the intensive care unit. Pittman represents District 8 in Jacksonville. And Trevor Lawrence has signed a four-year, $36.8 million contract as the QB for the Jaguars. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Lawyer, author, host of Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox News, Mark Levin is here every weekday evening from 6 till 9 p.m. on AM 600 WBOB and FM 101.1. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Some slow traffic on the Buckman Bridge headed towards Mandarin. You'll add an extra 4 minutes there, along with some light traffic on 295 headed south right before Bay Meadows Road. You'll add an extra 3 minutes there. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Today we'll see scattered thunderstorms and a high of 83. More rain with thunderstorms tonight and an overnight low of 74. Right now it is 71 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With U.S. troops leaving Afghanistan, NBC News reports Afghan security officials are seeing an increase of ISIS, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda making a comeback into the country. Tropical Storm Elsa's heaviest impact on North Florida will happen Wednesday. Forecasters predict North Florida and South Georgia could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain. And with many planning summer vacations, travel analysts predict longer waits at airports and rental car locations because of worker shortages.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
WBOB.
Hey, it's good to be back, everybody. Dean Roger Henderson, July 6th, Tuesday, and we had a great week, and thanks so much for tuning in as we go all the way with you to 9 a.m. If you think you heard it somewhere else, we're going to guarantee it. You heard it here first, right here on Talk Radio WBOB. Tropical Storm Elsa, is it possible it could enhance into a hurricane? Here's the latest from the Weather Channel.
Go back to the current status, 60 miles per hour. It's moving north-northwest at 12, and it will continue to be going forward. It's going to be out of the open water for the next couple of days, and there's going to continue to be some wind shear coming across the circulation over the next day or so. It's not going to be super strong. It's going to be, you know, strong enough perhaps to keep a lid on the intensity, but especially towards the end of the storm's journey, as it gets up in this position, that wind shear actually starts to sort of run away from the center of circulation and could actually be in a position to enhance.
And tomorrow would be the big day, of course. Weather analysts are predicting anywhere in North Florida and southern Georgia, 2 to 4 inches of rain. President Biden is back on the, quote, campaign spending trail again this week as he tries to get some sort of infrastructure passed, but also dealing with the issue of another rescue package that would, quote, give 21 million more on the entitlement rolls, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Multi-trillion dollar package known as the American Families Plan that includes federal entitlements for child care, paid family leave, free community college, universal pre-K, and more. If passed, it would be the largest expansion of the welfare state since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, estimating that 21 million Americans, mostly in the middle class, would be added to the entitlement rolls.
But it's halfway throughout the year. Is time running out of the Biden agenda? As coming around will be 2022.
Time is running out. We've got the August recess about to start. The September budget fights to avoid a government shutdown about to start. The start of campaigning for next year's midterms that Democrats could possibly lose. This feels like President Biden's last chance is the next few months to make his mark as a president. Biden's agenda looks like it's hitting a wall in the Senate. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin saying he's not going to eliminate the Senate filibuster. That means Democrats will need 60 votes to pass President Biden's agenda.
Fox Business Network anchor Elizabeth McDonald. When it comes to the issue of withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, NBC News' Richard Engel reports that Afghan security officials are seeing a major comeback from ISIS, al-Qaeda, and the Taliban into the country.
Even before U.S. troops finish their withdrawal from Afghanistan, America's old enemies are making a comeback. The Taliban is on a major offensive, capturing around 150 Afghan military outposts in the last 2 months. In most cases, Afghan security forces, trained and funded by the United States, surrendered without firing a shot. The American withdrawal is a huge morale boost for the Taliban and all Islamic extremists, presenting the U.S. pullout as a God-given victory. Several Afghan officials tell NBC News al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other radicals are returning to Afghanistan.
Home prices are here to stay and no sign of going down whatsoever throughout the remaining of the year. Real estate economist Daryl Fairweather.
I don't think that home prices are going to come down. I don't think that there's a bubble that's about to burst. What we're expecting is for competition to ease a bit. It'll go from having 12 offers on an attractive home to having maybe 6 or 7, which is still a lot. And with that much competition, prices are going to stay high. Mortgage rates are still at historic lows, and I think mortgage rates will stay pretty low. They may tick up a bit towards the end of the year as the economy really starts to recover, but overall, mortgage rates are low, and that's partly what's fueling these really high home prices.
Again, Daryl Fairweather, Real Estate Economy with Redfin. On the issue of job numbers, we saw that last Friday. Every week as unemployment jobless benefits also shows an uptick or a downtick as well, but once a month also comes out what is called the JOLT report of job openings and labor statistics. CNBC reports that May's openings look just about the same as it was in April, of around 9 million jobs.
The latest JOLTS measure, the measure of job openings and labor turnover, is expected to show that the U.S. had about 9.3 million unfilled jobs at the end of May. That's right around the record level set at the end of April.
So those numbers have not changed. We'll find out more coming up tomorrow morning. And for those of you that had a 4th of July weekend, how many were on the roads? Did you rent a car? Did you take the RV out? Did you go to the beach? Or did you fly? Well, there's a shortage of workers even with that, and that's also causing long delays at the airports and at rental car locations.
We experienced long lines across the country as airports were packed, and the whole system, airports, rental car agencies, and the like, well, they are a bit rusty after nearly a year off of the kind of crushing travel we're used to. So what does this mean for the rest of the summer? First of all, there will be a shortage of workers everywhere you go. At the airports, the TSA is so short of employees, they're asking for volunteers, and they're looking to hire 6,000 new workers.
Wow, Roger, a shortage at the rent-a-car places? Okay, but at a TSA?
Yeah, well, you know, I hear that, yeah, with TSA. In fact, I've got some travel plans coming up later this year, and my daughter recommended we do something where we can get pre-checked for TSA. It's an extra fee, but you do it in advance, you can go straight through. A lot of people are taking advantage of that because they're just worker shortages, and you'll end up at the airport for 2-4 hours just trying to get through the TSA checkpoint.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. A lot more news coming up in just a couple of moments. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
We're still dealing with that slow traffic on 295 headed north, right between Gate Parkway and Bay Meadows Road. It's from an accident that has the left lane blocked, so you'll add about 6 extra minutes. And if you see anything, just give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Today we'll see scattered thunderstorms and a high of 83. More rain with thunderstorms tonight and an overnight low of 74. Right now it is 71 degrees.
Are you having difficulty paying your IRS personal or business taxes due to COVID-19? If you owe a tax debt, there has never been a better time than now to get a resolution. The IRS has rolled out historic tax debt removal guidelines under their Taxpayer Relief Initiative. This COVID-19 program provides opportunities to remove or lessen your tax burden that weren't previously available. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville and are experts at negotiating with the IRS. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Never trust your tax situation to anyone that's not local to you. We've helped thousands of Floridians to overcome IRS and sales tax debt. Let us help you. Call J. David Tax Law today for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Fishing in Florida attracts millions of visitors to our state, supports more than 100,000 jobs, and contributes to $35 billion in our state's water-based economy each year. The future of Florida's fishing industry depends on a healthy Everglades. Protect our fishing. Restore America's Everglades. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen in fine jewelry over the last 25 years has been the growth of jewelry designers. At Underwoods, we're the leader, bringing to North Florida the best names in designer jewelry. In fact, we carry designer lines in a similar way to how clothing stores carry designer labels. The difference is that jewelry designers have to be a little more timeless in their presentations because nobody wants to buy a fine piece of jewelry only to find out the next year it's gone out of style. That's why you'll find at Underwoods the best of the jewelry designer names, those that are tried and true and popular. Names like David Yerman, Roberto Coyne, John Hardy, Marco Bichigo, Jude Francis, Lagos, Ippolita, and a lot more are all available right now at Underwoods.
So if you want the best looks in designer jewelry, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The latest job posting numbers will come out this week. Analysts believe the number will still be around 9 million job openings. A group of Texas sheriffs and ICE agents have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, accusing it of preventing federal officials from arresting or deporting criminal illegal immigrants. And economists predict home prices are going to stay high through the rest of the year.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. The president is now going to be out over the next week, couple of weeks, pushing. Now let's go back. 1.9 stimulus package. I can't keep up with all the names, Rog. Sorry. You got the $1.9 trillion that passed in March. You got the infrastructure bill. Then you've got another. Well, you got the big budget coming up where he wants, what, $6 trillion? And then before then, he's got another American Families Rescue Plan. Here's the latest. 21 million are going to be added to the entitlement rolls, according to the Wall Street Journal's Paul Gigot.
Multi-trillion dollar package known as the American Families Plan that includes federal entitlements for child care, paid family leave, free community college, universal pre-K, and more. If passed, it would be the largest expansion of the welfare state since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, estimating that 21 million Americans, mostly in the middle class, would be added to the entitlement roll.
Listen to this next clip. Here is from the Hudson Institute, economist John Kogan. He says underneath the Biden entitlements and those in the past, they don't come under yearly budget review. Once you're on, you're on.
An entitlement program basically gives individuals a legal right to a federal government grant under certain circumstances. And so Social Security might be a very good example. You turn age 65. If you've worked more than 10 years, you're entitled to a benefit. Food stamps. If your income is below a certain level, you're entitled to a food stamp benefit. And so it's basically a government guarantee that you will receive a service or a check if you meet certain conditions. When it comes to budgeting, these programs are automatic. They do not require annual congressional review or congressional appropriations. And so year after year after year, the programs go unreviewed. Unless, of course, you have an emergency, and then they get expanded.
Yeah, Jonathan Williams, our good friend, is an economist with the American Legislative Exchange Council out of Washington, D.C. Go to the website, alec.org. So I want to get to some policy things here. I don't see this Biden Families Plan being pushed or voted. It could be voted on, but I don't know if it's going to pass. Where is it at right now? And, again, they want to pass this and include another $6 trillion for the budget, which is going to be voted upon this September here, Jonathan.
Well, hey, Ed. And yeah, I mean, this is part of a long line that you are kind of talking about here as various pieces as part of the puzzle between now and, you know, maybe September, maybe later if they don't have the votes, Ed. So I think the Families Plan is really, in a way, kind of now bogged down in the Washington summer, where there'll be very few session days, thank God, between now and Labor Day, where Congress is mercifully out of session and back into the districts for the most part. And so this will be where the public affairs war starts, and the president and his allies will be out back in their districts trying to make the case for this massive entitlement expansion, as Paul Gigot was talking about there. In addition to that, of course, the infrastructure package, 1, 2, 3, depending on how you count that, and many other pieces as part of the normal then budget process that would normally kick off in September, getting us to the new federal fiscal year starting on October 1st.
You know, it seems like every week or every other week when you come on with us, it's up one week, down the next week about an infrastructure package. And correct me where I'm wrong. You know, me and Roger have this discussion every day on this radio show that, you know, I don't give a flip about a bipartisan agreement because you got the far left of the Chuck Schumers out there that say that we're not going to do anything without tax increases. Nancy Pelosi says it doesn't matter unless it's a budget reconciliation. Don't even bring it back to the House. The conservative wing of the Republican Party isn't going to support it because of this spending measures. Is this thing even still possible? It's going to get passed.
Anything's possible, my friend, but what Congress just passed on the House side before the 4th of July there was the so-called skinny transportation infrastructure package. And Ed, only in Washington, D.C., in our kind of warped way of thinking out here, can we consider a $750 billion package, the skinny package. And so now the question is, it goes to the Senate. They have this at least somewhat of an initial framework for an agreement, it sounds. But, you know, that changes by the day. And it feels like, you know, as the president then came out and said, all right, we've got this bipartisan agreement, After that, by the way, once you're done taking those votes, I'm going to one-up you and add another trillion, two, three, 4 trillion to that package. And then we're going to do that on a partisan basis. And so it is a nearly a soap opera now in Washington Ed, this summer as these things play out. And unfortunately, the person, the individuals that are going to be paying for all of this are the ones that are kind of watching from the sidelines at the moment.
Let's talk about the jobs report that came out last week. Hey, listen, 850,000 jobs, I'm all for it. I was looking at the breakdown by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I know you write articles about this that get picked up from TheHill.com and Wall Street Journal and all that, but the number one jobs that were created was, of course, leisure and hospitality. Let me set this up. 850,000 jobs were created. Leisure and hospitality, 343. Government jobs, 100 and almost 200,000 jobs created. Professional and business services. Okay, here's where this is where I'm looking at real. I'm not saying that those in hospitality are not real jobs. I'm talking about manufacturing. Only 15,000 jobs created. Transportation and warehousing, only 10,000 jobs created. And in fact, construction jobs, there was a loss of 7,000. Where is this going? I mean, is this a healthy jobs report, or is it one of these that you sit back and say, well, duh, when you shut down the economy, it's going to come back no matter what? Jonathan, I mean, what I'm getting at, if you've got 40 to 50, 60 plus thousand more manufacturing and construction jobs created, that is based on what you really would have an indicator of how strong the, quote, real economy is coming back, is it not?
Well, there's a lot of things to unpack there. And, you know, top line numbers, it's a good jobs report relative to, you know, what we've seen, huge underperformance in past months. So it's positive. However, you know, there's a lot of pent-up demand still within leisure and travel tourism. And I think you're seeing that really positive number off the top because you've got these nearly 30 states now we've talked about, Ed, that have said no more to the coupling of the federal bonus $300 a week payment. These businesses we are hearing across the board, large and small, almost impossible to get some folks back to the workforce while you're paying people to stay home. And that incentive has now changed in a majority of states at this point. Now, I think that's why you're seeing this lifeline to the tourism and travel industry at the right time in the summer now to get people back into that space. Now, I think it's challenging, Ed. We can't really pat ourselves in the back all that much because when it comes to the government workforce piece of this, at least, these are not, you know, new jobs created in some cases. These are people coming back into the workforce that have been potentially laid off for a year now, plus with the school shutdown. So you've got the bus drivers and others that will have their livelihoods back, and that's amazing. We should celebrate that. But also, you know, this is the government jobs. These are people that, you know, in a lot of people's sense should have been back a while ago as the schools remained closed and families were put in a very difficult position. But, you know, that number is coming back strong. But your overall point is that where are the other jobs in the economy right now? That's really the concerning piece is we're not seeing the pickup in some of the other private sector jobs and lower down on the line as you talked about construction and other areas of the economy.
Right. Hey, one of the big stories, I got a couple minutes left. One of the big stories we've covered is the unemployment insurance. So lawsuits happening in Texas, Indiana, also in states like, I think, Virginia and Ohio. And now Florida, of course, is one of those top states, I think 21, 22, that have sat back and said, we're going to cut off the unemployment benefits early. Now some of these judges, I mean, are they Trump appointed? What? Some of these federal judges in the area have sat back and state judges have said, well, we're not going to really cut it off right now. Let's see where the argument goes. So we'll continue the unemployment benefits until we get a case going, or not a case going, but until we find out what a final resolve is. Where is this going?
Well, it's a case study in judicial activism once again. And without knowing some of the specifics there, you know, it's let's hope they weren't Trump appointees because this is definitely meddling with the state's prerogative once again. You know, and let's not forget the numbers have moved so quickly on this that even the Biden administration had kind of said, Labor Day, we're going to let these things expire. So this may get us to that point if the judges are interfering in some of these cases. But very, very concerning, once again, is kind of the assault on states and the decision-making process as they try to do what's best.
Yeah, I want to see where all this goes. So we'll always continue this conversation. Jonathan Williams is the chief economist at the American Legislative Exchange Council. The website is alec.org, and author some of the books out there as well, Rich States, Poor States. Hey, good to have you on, brother.
Always great to join you, my friend.
All right, man. Jonathan Williams here with Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. And again, the latest with all of this, with the unemployment benefits and the lawsuits. Oh, we're going to allow you to stay on until we come to a final decision with this. Whatever happened to the states dictating what should happen if they're the ones in control of the purse?
And the way the courts move, I mean, it could expire automatically even before it ends up in court.
All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Still looking at that stop-and-go traffic on 295 headed south, right between Gate Parkway and Bay Meadows Road. It's from an earlier accident that has that left lane blocked, so you'll add about 7 or 8 extra minutes. But you can try and avoid it by taking south side. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Today will be mostly cloudy with some thunderstorms and a high of 83. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with more rain and a low of 74. Right now it's 72 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month when they join MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to the typical health insurance plan. That's double. So you get a massive network of providers to choose from. You get telehealth services, and MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years, shared more than $4 billion in healthcare bills. Here's why now really is the time to make the switch, too. You can start saving each month, which is huge, but right now, they'll waive your joining fee. So you'll save another $170 right off the bat. But again, it's a limited time offer. You got to call now. And it only takes 2 minutes to find out how much you'd save by switching. Here's the number, 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show breaking down the big July 4th weekend. Did it feel normal? Did you burn your mask and have a good hot dog? I hope so.
Plus, did the Democrats realize that they need to back away from some of the craziest left-wing policies they've been talking about in recent weeks? We'll talk about their strategy and more coming up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
WBOB. Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, coming up on, 7:27, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB. How many of y'all remember this kind of a low-level case that got kind of reported, or should I say not reported, that was under the radar with the latest Supreme Court decisions? Remember the Masterpiece Bakery in Colorado where a same-sex couple walked in and said, "Hey, dude, make us a cake." No, we want you to make us a cake. And the guy says,
"Hey." A custom cake, by the way.
Custom cake, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, the owner says, hey, guys, and he was real cool. I'll make anything. It's against my religious liberty. Then the Colorado Human Rights, whatever, pretty much wanted to go after this company. And Supreme Court said, can't do it. They had another case between LGBT and a florist, and the Supreme Court says, well, I don't think we're going to hear this case.
Supreme Court has decided not to take up another case centered on a battle between LGBTQ rights and religious rights. It did not say why, which is normal. The Washington Supreme Court had earlier sided with a gay couple, saying it was discriminatory for a florist to refuse to work their wedding over religious objection.
That's reporter Sam Smith. So the Supreme Court says we're not going to hear the case. Most likely, maybe they're going to make it through the appellate. So we'll see what happens. More coming up next. Ed and Roger, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Yeah.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Miami-Dade County Mayor says that crews searching the debris of the collapsed condo tower have made a lot of progress since the demolition of part of the building that was still standing. Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava says a confirmed death toll is now 28, 117 people unaccounted for. Along with high winds, Tropical Storm Elsa is dumping a lot of rain on the Florida Keys. The National Hurricane Center says the storm will likely parallel Florida's west coast today, with landfall late tonight or early tomorrow in the Big Bend area north of Tampa Bay. The leader of an Iran-backed Iraqi militia vows to retaliate against America for the deaths of four of his men in a U.S. airstrike along the Iraq-Syria border that took place last month. Dow futures down 38 points, NASDAQ futures up 28. More details at srnnews.com.
We all know.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Patrick Johnson. Tropical storm Elsa back over the water. Heavy rainfall, 2 to 4 inches. Isolated amounts of 6 inches is in the forecast through Wednesday evening. As of this morning, the biggest impact to monitor, according to forecasters, heavy rainfall and stronger damaging winds and severe storms. There's also a threat for isolated tornadoes since the Jacksonville area is forecast to be on the eastern side of Elsa's center. Jacksonville City Councilwoman Jacoby Pittman has been hospitalized with COVID-19. She's reported to be in ICU. Pittman represents District 8 in Jacksonville and is also the CEO of the Clara White Mission, which provides social and professional services to the city's underserved community and homeless veterans. A man walking alongside the road carrying a gun, exchanging gunfire with Columbia County deputies on Monday. He was ultimately arrested. He had suffered a gunshot wound, though it was not known if it was self-inflicted or suffered during the shootout. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Hurricane season is here, and 2021 is expected to be an active one. If you're considering a new generator this year, call American Electrical Contracting to schedule early. American Electrical Contracting will help you plan within your budget and has the highest rated factory certified installers. If there's a storm being tracked, there's a waiting list. Be prepared and buy your new generator today. Visit American-Electrical.com today. American-Electrical.com. Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Still looking at that stop-and-go traffic on 295 headed south, right between Gate Parkway and Bay Meadows Road. It's from an earlier accident that has that left lane blocked, so you'll add about 7 or 8 extra minutes, but you can try and avoid it by taking south side. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Today will be mostly cloudy with some thunderstorms and a high of 83. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with more rain and a low of 74. Right now it's 72 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Tropical Storm Elsa's heaviest impact on North Florida will happen Wednesday. Forecasters predict North Florida and South Georgia could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain. With many planning summer vacations, travel analysts predict longer waits at airports and rental car locations because of worker shortages. And with U.S. troops leaving Afghanistan, NBC News reports Afghan security officials are seeing an increase of ISIS, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda making a comeback into the country.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Coming up on 7:34, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Take us anywhere you would like. You want to catch the latest on Tropical Storm Elsa and other weather-related or just news overall, download that radio app. Thousands of you have done it. Multitude of thousands of you have done it. It's free. There is no pop-ups, no charges, no monthly trying to have you sign on to anything, no awards, no games, just strictly news. Go to the website, WBOB.com, WBOB.com, and download the app. There is a new lawsuit dealing with the Border Patrol, a group of Texas sheriffs, and ICE, Immigration Customs and Enforcement agents, have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration They're saying that he's not helping us out by arresting, and he's standing in our way when it comes to deporting criminal illegal immigrants. Here's the latest with this. Fox News' Bill Malugin.
Five Texas sheriffs, as well as some ICE officers, are now suing the Biden administration, accusing Biden of not upholding federal law by not allowing ICE to arrest or deport criminal illegals. The sheriffs out here very upset by this. They say Biden's policies enticing illegals to come here. A border patrol here in the Rio Grande Valley reporting that they arrested three criminal illegal aliens with some serious records. One was a Honduran national with a second-degree rape conviction of a child under the age of 15 out of the state of New York. Just a short time after that, they arrested a Mexican national with a sexual assault conviction out of the state of Arkansas. And then just after that, they arrested another Honduran national who is a registered sex offender in the state of Wisconsin. All of those men had also been previously deported and evidently tried coming back.
You know, Roger, this isn't good optics. I mean, if there's any unfortunate areas, and by the way, this isn't just a few. There's quite a few of these. The optics are if these guys are breaking in or coming back, well, yeah, I guess the word is breaking back into the country. They've already been convicted somehow. I guess maybe they ran from the law, or they were arrested on this, convicted, deported, and now they're making a comeback. And let's say there's another crime that takes place. This, I mean, listen, the president's already underwater when it comes to the issue of the border. This is just going to get worse if there's some crimes taking place. Not so much the amount of drugs coming back into the border, but if some of these criminals are back out there and unfortunately have another sexual crime against them, against young people, rape and assault and murder. I got news for you. This doesn't. This is just going to get worse.
Well, and you can't blame the president if they're trying to come back into the country. What I don't understand is why in the world are we letting them free on U.S. soil once they come back and we've identified who they are? That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, and probably I can't blame most the president people. For allowing them to come back if the ICE, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement are sitting back saying, hey, we're having a rough time deporting these guys.
Exactly. And if they're, you know, maybe if they've committed these, you know, heinous crimes in the U.S., maybe they need to go to jail. In America and spend some time, you know, behind bars in America first before they're deported.
Here's an interesting story. Roger brought up a really valid point last hour. So this is the Assistant Secretary of State. Is it Ian Brownlee? For those of you that want to travel, and now it's LGBT passports. How about that? Are they rainbow colored, by the way? So anyway, just check the box of the gender that you currently identify with and that'll be okay.
The Department of State is committed to promoting the freedom, dignity, and equality of all people, including LGBTQI persons. Starting today, you are no longer required to submit medical certification if you wish to change the gender marker on your passport. You can simply select male or female on the application form. Even if the gender you identify with does not match the gender on your birth certificate or other documents. For the moment, only male or female gender markers are available. But I'm pleased to announce the department has begun moving toward adding a gender marker for non-binary, intersex, and gender non-conforming persons. The process of adding a gender marker is complex and will take time, but we are committed to getting this right. We will be coordinating with other government agencies to ensure as smooth a travel experience as possible for all U.S. citizens, regardless of their gender.
Wow. What kind of problems is this going to create, Raj?
Well, they think they're being, you know, kind to those in the LGBT community. But the frank of the matter is there are countries around the world that do not accept, you know, the more liberal social agenda that we see happening in certain parts of the United States. They will actually throw people in jail for that sort of thing. There are countries right now, for example, in Africa, you say you're LGBT, you're going to jail for years. And if you think you're safe under the U.S. passport, you just identified yourself. The American State Department right now under the Biden administration is making things real dangerous for American citizens traveling abroad right now with that policy.
By the way, to your point, many passports are also used as identification here in the U.S.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you can use your passport or the passport card that they now offer. Use that for ID, and it can be very confusing for a lot of people. This is only kind of originating in certain parts of the country. I guess Colorado would be one, the West Coast, the Northeast. But it's a new paradigm shift they're trying to, an agenda they're trying to push.
Did you hear the extra letter that was added?
No, what is it?
It's LGBTQI. What in the world is intersex?
Don't know. You got to look it up. You know, what they do is they get these pointy head geeks at these universities to try to add credibility to what they're doing by making it look really academic and scientific. So they assign, I guess, what do they have now? I think it's something or several dozen or at least a couple of dozen different genders right now that that they assign. So whatever intersex is, I do not know.
Yeah, anyway. I said, is he talking about intersection?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, anyway. So let's continue on with the news. How many of you all traveled like me and Raj did over the 4th of July weekend? Well, Roger's traveling to walking 10 feet from his Ponte Vedra home out on the beach. But anyway, the pre-pandemic levels, Roger, airport officials have said that we're seeing. But travel analysts say, again, we all know what the answer is because of a labor shortage, people not coming back to work because of unemployment benefits. Here's Fox News' Anita Vogel. She says, expect longer lines at the airport and possibly rental car locations.
Many experienced long lines across the country as airports were packed. And the whole system, airports, rental car agencies, and the like, well, they are a bit rusty after nearly a year off of the kind of crushing travel we're used to. So what does this mean for the rest of the summer? First of all, there will be a shortage of workers everywhere you go. At the airports, the TSA is so short of employees, they're asking for volunteers, and they're looking to hire 6,000 new workers.
6,000 new workers? I mean, wait, are we not paying TSA employees enough?
They never really did make a whole lot from the beginning, to be frank with you. But now, when they're making more money with unemployment than they could make in their job, and they lose that extra money if they go back to work, obviously the decision is going to be what's going to help their back pocket the greatest, and that's going to be continue to take the unemployment benefits.
You know, many of us follow foreign policy. Many of us don't. I'm one of those that sits back and says, okay, I see what's happening over there. I get that. But I got to tell you something, Roger. The intriguing debate about the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, which began under President Trump and continues to happen under President Biden. According to Afghan security officials, they tell NBC News they are seeing a comeback when the last soldier and many of them that are already leaving from the from Afghanistan back to the U.S., there's a major increase of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban coming back into Afghanistan.
Even before U.S. troops finished their withdrawal from Afghanistan, America's old enemies are making a comeback. The Taliban is on a major offensive, capturing around 150 Afghan military outposts in the last 2 months. In most cases, Afghan security forces, trained and funded by the United States, surrendered without firing a shot. The American withdrawal is a huge morale boost for the Taliban and all Islamic extremists, presenting the U.S. pullout as a God-given victory. Several Afghan officials tell NBC News Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other radicals are returning to Afghanistan.
NBC News, Richard Engel. Here is our good friend, former Green Beret, Colonel Michael Waltz, who's also a congressman here in the Northeast Florida area. He says that the military withdrawal from Afghanistan could lead to another 9/11.
Nobody wants the troops to come home more than those of us who have had to sacrifice so much. But the last thing I want to see is another 9/11. And the best way to, I think, cause another 9/11 to happen is to pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan when half the world's terrorist organizations are still there and the intelligence community is very clear they intend to hit us again.
Well, I mean, that's been that way for 20 plus years now. And I like the colonel. He's a good friend of the show. I think there's a valid argument that if all you know what breaks loose, Raj, if World War III happens, what do we have in the Middle East? I mean, okay, do we need to have another base out there? I get that argument, believe it or not. But here's the other thing. After 20 years, you mean to tell me that the Afghan people can't take care of its own? Number two, the other area that I would ask is, does that mean to sit back and say, let's say that Germany, which pretty much has his own army now, but I mean, certain areas of Europe, should we not maybe have them pay, like what former President Trump wanted to do, pay their fair share when it comes to NATO? Why do we still have troops there? What about in Japan? Is Japan worried about China taking over?
Wait.
So that's my question. If you want them in Afghanistan, then where would you, let's say, Roger, it's a wash. Where would you then subtract troops from which country?
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Germany and Japan. You know, those wars were fought back in 1940s, World War II, and we continue to have a strong U.S. military presence in Japan. In fact, we've got bases all over the country of Japan. We have a U.S. military presence in Germany. We have a U.S. military presence in Italy. And it's ongoing because, you know, that's basically the way it is. Now, I would love to get out of Afghanistan, but is it safe for national security? And is it safe for global security? And I think most people who are really thinking this through think not.
All right. 744, more coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Things are clearing up on 295 headed south, but there still is some light traffic right there between Gate Parkway and Bay Meadows Road. And that left lane is still blocked. You'll add about 5 extra minutes. And if you see anything, just give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Today will be mostly cloudy with some thunderstorms and a high of 83. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with more rain and a low of 74. Right now it's 72 degrees. Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence.
Maybe you've been in the military for 20 some odd years and you never fired your weapon, but you've seen things and you've heard things and you've witnessed terrible things that have happened to not only your friends but citizens. That builds up. And then I got sent home for medical treatment. They told me straight up, hey, you got problems.
Canines for Warriors pair specially trained service dogs with vets in need.
And we're asking pointed questions because we're trying to pair them with a good match for them, a good dog. And so we kind of have guided conversations what the warrior requires and how we can best suit that with our dogs.
Your generosity will go right to work to help pair a struggling warrior with a shelter dog trained to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Give your best gift today by going to caninesforwarriors.org.
Have you been considering extra security for your community, home, or business, but unsure of where to start? Sunbelt Gated Access Systems has the knowledge, quality products, and services to provide you with affordable, effective answers. Sunbelt Gated Access Systems is your trusted local company specializing in fully automatic swing and slide gate operators, access control systems, and video surveillance systems. Whether it's for a multifamily community, single-family home, church, office complex, medical center, country club, or commercial property, Sunbelt Gated Access Systems is your best choice in Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia. Sunbelt Gated Access Systems is fully licensed and insured, a nationally certified automatic gate system designer, and a proud member of both the Northeast Florida Builders Association and the American Fence Association. Sunbelt's trusted professionals have been providing immediate solutions with lasting results and outstanding customer service for decades. Visit sunbeltsys.com.
The Brandon Groover News Hour is a talk radio show sponsored by Elite Home Health, where all viewpoints are respected. Everything is balanced against the facts. Political correctness will not get in the way of solutions. Brandon Groover is starting a movement that will bring Americans together while keeping her great and holding our leaders accountable. No spin allowed. Brandon Groover wants to hear from you Fridays at 5 p.m. on WBOB 600 AM and 101.1 FM.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A group of Texas sheriffs and ICE agents have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, accusing it of preventing federal officials from arresting or deporting criminal illegal immigrants. Economists predict home prices are going to stay high through the rest of the year. And the latest job posting numbers will come out this week. Analysts believe the number will still be around 9 million job openings.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
So once a month, we have the job unemployment numbers for that month. That came out, of course, last Friday, 850,000 jobs. I want to break that down a little bit. Some of it is is good, but the rest, I'm not trying to, listen, 850,000 jobs created, but wait till we tell you where a boatload of them were created and not created. I'll get to that in a moment. Then you have the weekly unemployment job compensation, in other words, unemployment compensation numbers, who filed for jobless claims. That comes out once a week. And then each month is what's called the JOLTS report, the job openings labor statistics. Here is CNBC's, where May comes out, June will come out next month, but April and June pretty much look the same. 9 million job openings still.
The latest JOLTS measure, the measure of job openings and labor turnover, is expected to show that the U.S. had about 9.3 million unfilled jobs at the end of May. That's right around the record level set at the end of April.
Matt Schellenberg, our good friend, former Jacksonville City Councilman, business owner, and business writer for FloridaDaily.com. So, Matt, let me point this out. The job numbers that came out, listen, 850,000, I'll take it. But they broke it down that leisure and hospitality, again, restaurants, hotels, had 343,000 increase. Government jobs were almost at 190,000 increase. Wow, good thing about that. But what really caught my attention is there were only about a 15,000 job increase in manufacturing, and construction jobs actually lost 7,000 jobs. How do you read this jobs report?
I am very disappointed, because I think that you hit the nail on the head. First of all, let's take the leisure. You know, those are the people that have to drive to work every day, and the gasoline prices are going up substantially. And by the way, as an addendum, Biden administration apparently reached out to the OPEC Plus group and said, please deal with this issue about gasoline because they're going up and they're affecting my economy. Where in fact, Biden is the problem with gasoline prices, with people going to work. Second of all, the government jobs, three-quarters of the jobs went to schools hiring back their teachers and bus drivers and things like that. So basically, you're looking at all these people using gasoline, and then you look at construction jobs. They're in Jacksonville, we're doing a lot of infrastructure and things like that, but there aren't enough people to do the jobs and do the jobs and learn the trade to actually be able to perform in that section.
You know, you cover this a lot when you come on our radio show, and some of your articles at FloridaDaily.com. 21 states have said we've already ended benefits early. Now there are lawsuits against several other states. I'm sure there's going to be a few also against Florida about ending the unemployment benefits very early. Some of these judges have come out now and said, Matt, well, we're not going to enforce it. We're going to allow the unemployment benefits to continue until we have a final resolution on these cases out there. Do you think that a lot of this is going to end in September? Do you think the Democrats are going to still continue it?
I think it is going to end in September, but I think that the thing that, let's go back to the 850,000 new jobs that people got. Were they in states, the 21 states that actually said you are not going to get the federal plus benefits going forward? Where did those jobs go? And I think that if you looked at the numbers, a vast majority of those that actually went back to work were in those 21 states, period. And if you looked at the next number, which is the government jobs, 30,000, 35,000 jobs unrelated to schools, the government, either federal, state, local, are hiring people. This is insane going forward and going forward. Why do we need more government people being hired versus private sector jobs?
That's probably the problem. Yeah. Maybe it's all those IRS agents. Let me play for you a quick clip. Fox News reported, you remember a story we covered last week? For those of you that want to, this month, begin going back on the cruise lines, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you're going to have to buy travel insurance to cover COVID medical expenses. Here's the clip.
A cruise company with a new requirement for those departing from Florida.
Royal Caribbean says unvaccinated guests over the age of 12 must purchase travel insurance for Florida cruises. The policy must cover COVID-19 related medical expenses, quarantine, and evacuation.
Now, I like the private sector to determine this. Roger said, and Matt, I know you take cruises with your lovely wife. I know you've got the vaccine. Some people that don't want to get the vaccines because of health reasons. I mean, to buy the travel insurance, Roger, it isn't really that expensive, right?
It can be, especially if you get the travel insurance through the cruise line. But if you contact your own insurance person, order it online, it's not as expensive. So,
what do you think, Matt? You think the marketplace is going to have to decide this between vaccine and unvaccinated? We're going to treat you like first-class passengers versus second-class passengers.
Well, let's put it this way. Only 40% of the people, or 45% of the people in Florida are vaccinated. And then we also have the Delta virus. So tell me exactly who is preventing other people from taking the virus. I, on the other hand, when we were young, you basically, your parents, you couldn't go to school unless you got vaccinated on certain issues, polio and all these other things. What is it that prevents people from taking the vaccine and not looking out for themselves, but looking at society as themselves? This bothers me tremendously, why people aren't being vaccinated.
Interesting. Do you think it's a – let me ask you a quick question. Do you think it's a – do you think it's a boogeyman excuse until they quote, if it's FDA approved? How do you answer that?
Okay, first of all, it is FDA approved. Moderna has been working. Pfizer has been working. Johnson & Johnson has been working. But by the way, this impacts somebody in Jacksonville. One of the 19 city council members are now in ICU. Jacoby Pittman is in ICU. She represents, I think, District 8 in Jacksonville. She's in ICU. What I want to know is, did she ever get the vaccine? And if not, why not? It just so happens she's an African-American. And I can tell you there's many African-Americans that are getting the vaccine. But why is the percentage of African-Americans actually getting the vaccine not even at 40 or 45%?
Well, a big reason for that is the history of, for example, the Tuskegee experiment, where black people were identified as a group that you can do experiments on without letting them know, and they're a little apprehensive and a little concerned that whether or not this is actually safe.
Roger, that's 50, 60 years ago.
And
at some point, you're going to have to decide that if you believe the government is the answer and the government says this is okay, why is it they're selective on what they believe the government's going to do or not? When even if you break it down, okay.
Do we have a break?
Because of Roger, I'm just kidding, Matt. Hey, Matt Schellenberg, good to have you on. Business columnist for FloridaDaily.com. Coming up on 56.
Hey, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Love you, brother.
And I'm glad everybody had a great fort.
I'll see you soon. 56 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Looking at some slow traffic on I-10 headed east, right at Cassett Avenue. You'll add an extra 5 minutes, and if you see anything that'll help your friends stay safe, just give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Today will be mostly cloudy with some thunderstorms and a high of 83. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with more rain and a low of 74. Right now it's 72 degrees.
I'm Keith Peterson for Lou Dobbs. Wall Street humming again today after the long weekend. Tyson recalling 8.5 million pounds of chicken and updates on service and job openings ahead. Those stories next.
I'm Lou Dobbs, and as you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton, called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer for my listeners. You will receive 2-for-1 low price plus free shipping. Call 1-800-977-9152. Use the promo code Dobbs. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Dobbs. Make sure you use the promo code Dobbs.
It's back to work on Wall Street today following the three-day weekend in observance of the 4th of July holiday, and mail delivery resumes after the Postal Service and other federal workers took the day off yesterday as well. Economic reports ahead this week include a look at the services sector. It's been accelerating as the economy has reopened, but many economists surveyed expect the services purchasing index for June to weaken a bit when it's released today. Tomorrow we'll get an update on the latest job openings, which are expected to hold steady from May's numbers. Tyson Foods recalling 8.5 million pounds of chicken products that could possibly have been tainted by harmful bacteria from their Dexter, Missouri plant. Please join Lou three times each weekday for his updates from the Salem Radio Network right here on this station. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Your summer camping headquarters 7 days a week is A Army Navy Depot, San Juan and Blanding. A Army Navy Depot is Jacksonville's only military surplus store with 4,000 square feet of camo clothes, boots like Rothko, original SWAT, Altima and Proper, shorts, tanks and tees, kids clothes, plate carriers and plates and more. Check out the survivor needs, military flags and pins, security, DOC and first responder gear. Gift cards available. A Army Navy Depot, 4721 San Juan Avenue at Blanding.
All right, more coming up next at the 8 a.m. hour. A lot of news to get to. Is the Biden agenda running out of time? We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments. Several of you have been emailing me. We asked the question, Afghan troop withdrawal. Many of you want to blame Biden. Well, wait, this started under Trump. How do you blame Biden for this? I don't get that. This is an issue. It's not an individual or partisan issue, okay? Question is, will the terrorists make a comeback? And there's going to be another 9/11. That's an interesting debate. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville, 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco. Talk Radio.